You are listening to Southeastern Zone 90.9 KSLU. This is
Experience Points with Matt
and Will.
And we are back. We're the two hip guys. Both kind of found out we were hipsters. We both like things before they're cool.
Mm-hmm.
We're the two guys that explain the best, the worst, at least the funniest parts of video games. We try to have a discussion every show about things that really touched our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And this show is no different, but before we go and get started we're going to go ahead and talk about something we talked about last week. It was Artemis Spaceship Bridge Simulator. It actually segues really nice into what we're going to be talking about this episode, but I said that it was free. It's not free. The demo is free. It's what it's a demo. It's $40 for the entire suite, so $40 gets you six stations. So you can be engineering, you can be weapons, you could be a captain or helmsman or comm. Or security, maybe? I don't know. You could be a lot of different things. But for $40, you get all of it. So anyway, moving on to that.
Anyways.
You want to be more planned. You know, you want to be more prepared for things like, I guess, commanding a starship. But specifically in this show, we're going to talk about being prepared. I got to ask you a really big question.
Okay.
Are you prepared for the impending zombie apocalypse?
Okay. Everyone pull out your pen and papers, kids, because I'm about to school you guys on my plan for the zombie apocalypse.
Time to go to work.
Basically, assuming that electricity is still working.
It'll be working for a little bit, I think.
Okay.
It's kind of automatic.
Assuming electricity is still working, my plan is, to somehow stockpile your weapons, visit all your redneck grandparents.
Whoa, are these assault weapons?
Yeah, these assault weapons that are about to be
banned.
The ones that are in
the
news
personal
right
defense,
now.
Not personal defense. Anyway,
that's
another show.
That's a touchy subject. But go get all of them, because assuming that they are already gone, and if they're not gone, ask if you can borrow their weapons, because even though you say you're borrowing them, you're actually going to be taking them because you probably won't ever see them ever again. But then you go and you find the nearest McDonald's that has no one in it. It's like shut down basically because of the zombie apocalypse.
Do you think that zombies are going to stay away from McDonald's?
Well, it's not that they'll stay away from McDonald's. It's the fact that in McDonald's, I work at a McDonald's. I've worked at McDonald's as before.
Spoiler alert, everyone.
And I know that in their freezers, they have absolutely like crate after crate after crate of nuggets and burgers and all these things basically and all these different things. So basically my plan was to be, also, the way that most McDonald's stores are set up is they're kind of like elongated.
Yeah, so there's like one side that's really open, and then the back is like completely closed,
with the exception
of like one door.
Yeah, the back is completely closed, and usually towards like the back when they get really close towards the freezer, it kind of closes in, and there's like a hallway. And the thing is what you could do is if there's electricity, you have crates of burgers and you have buns. I mean, you have food to last you for a ridiculous amount of time,
yeah, because I mean, all that stuff, I mean, it stays cold for a little bit,
yeah.
And then as long as electricity's on, it'll still stay cold. I can't imagine, are the machines hard to work?
They're actually, probably the easiest things.
Could I make a double cheeseburger just by, going in there? I guess there's a microwave somewhere.
Literally, yeah, there is a microwave. There's a couple microwaves in there. But literally, you hit two buttons, and this little thing comes down and presses the meat together and cooks it. I mean, you don't have to even flip the burger.
Oh, yeah, bonus. So yeah. All right, so I can see that.
And so literally, the shape of the store is perfect because, let's say they break in through the front area of the windows, you can go to the back, and it's like a hallway, basically, where they can only get in through, one at a time. I don't know why I'm saying this. It's kind of a history reference, but kind of like what the Spartans did, you know, 300.
Yeah,
They stayed up against everyone because they are in a little really, really skinny area, and they stayed. It was 300 versus however many armies, and they lasted for a very long time. This would basically be the same thing with you and, say, you have a friend or something like that. If y'all have weapons, that'd be perfect, but if it's just you, then I guess it'll last as long as you can.
You could maybe, go hide out in the ball pit and just wait for the zombies to come in the ball pit. It'll be like the ball pit of death.
They'll never see you or anything.
Like second death.
The only thing that I've kind of found a flaw with my plan is once you start cooking the burgers, there is little vents that go up above the roof, and they'd probably
smell. Zombies may or may not have enhanced sense of smell.
Yeah, but say they don't have enhanced in it, because, of course, we don't really know exactly what it is that zombies will be like. We have some clues from movies and stuff like that. But, say they don't have an enhanced sense of smell, and say they actually have a worse sense of smell because of the blood that's covering their face constantly.
Right, they are dead, so
yeah.
Things start to fall off.
Yeah, say maybe their nose falls off or something like that. But anyways, basically, you can survive. I'm pretty sure you can be able to survive a pretty long time in a McDonald's. Say you have a ball put to entertain yourself, you have the grill to cook your food, and you have a little area that you can defend yourself in, like a hallway. And so if you have weapons, you can last a very long time. But if you don't have power, I'm not gonna lie, if you don't have power, I'm not exactly sure where you, maybe like Walmart or something, but Walmart's really, really open. So
yeah, I would think maybe a Walmart, and or I would want to go to maybe like a Cabela's or a Bass Pro.
Cabela's.
Like someplace
that has weapons.
Someplace that has weapons, or if not that, just like something, you know, you've got a lot of stuff. Maybe you don't need all the stuff in the store, but mm-hmm. you can barricade a lot of it. Like I've always thought, you know, I want to do get someplace with like another story, like second story, third story. Like honestly, D. Vickers is probably here on Southeastern's yeah. campus. D. Vickers, Fayard, someplace with roof access in case it gets too hot. But throughout the day, you know, you can bash out a window, and zombies are not adept rock climbers.
Yeah.
Yet. I'm waiting for the return of Walking Dead. They may be rock climbers in the new season, but they're not adept wall rock climbers. So just essentially kind of live on the second story of something barricade. I think they did it in 28 days or 28 weeks later. They did something kind
yeah,
of like that.
Like
barricaded actually, with shopping carts or something.
I actually watched the movie like a week ago, so it's kind of funny that you mentioned that. Yeah. But yeah, they make some like weird trap thing with shopping carts so the zombies wouldn't be able to figure out how to get up above a certain level, and they had a house like at the very top of this hotel or something.
Right. Yeah, so I was telling Will before the show, but I'm going through all the Resident Evils, and we're watching all the Resident Evils, mm-hmm. starting with first off Mila Jovovich. That's right, she kicks some butt, man. So we're watching all the Resident Evils, and we're having fun with that. But that got us thinking, what zombie games, what war games, you know, did you play? I recently had I think a conversation with someone, a student worker that I work with, that he plays Resident Evil a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, his favorite few games are Resident Evil, especially Resident Evil for like the new Resident Evil.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the one they remade for the Wii.
Yeah.
So like Resident Evil like Anniversary or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But he loves the tank controls. He loves the inability to kind of actually play the game right, you know, play the game like I guess Resident Evil 4. But I know you'd mentioned Black Ops Zombies.
Yeah, Black Ops Zombies.
And funny story, I was playing with my brother. Before I played Black Ops Zombies with him, I'd never played Black Ops before. So then we get into the zombie mode. I never played zombie mode on anything.
So you just...
I just jumped feet first in.
No idea what's going on.
And I was like, I'm shooting him. And he's like, what are you doing? Stop shooting me. You got to shoot the other guys. I'm like, oh, okay, there are other guys. And I'm like, I don't see any other guys. And then the waves start coming.
Mm-hmm.
The waves of zombies. And I'm like, oh, this is fine. You know, tat-tat, just taking people down. Mm-hmm. And then they start getting faster and they start getting smarter. And I think we got like 4, 5, or 6 waves in. And mm-hmm. I think I was playing JFK. Like, I was JFK. Yeah. He was Chavez or
somebody.
Fidel Castro or something.
Yeah, Fidel Castro.
And, you know, he was shooting people too, but then we got overtaken really quickly. And I'm thinking,
yeah.
I don't think I'm prepared. If I play like I do in a video game, if that's how real life is, I'm not prepared for the zombie mm-hmm. apocalypse. Even with my seemingly ironclad plan and my relatively good marksmanship skills,
yeah.
I don't think I'm prepared to outrun a horde of mouth-watering, crazed zombie people.
So basically what you're saying is if the zombie apocalypse happens, you hope you're not in the Pentagon or something like that, because that's what the map you're talking about. That's what the one you play on. You're
yeah,
in the Pentagon.
Yeah, I don't want to be in 4 or 5 rooms. I also don't want to be, like, since it's Mardi Gras season, I don't want to be in New Orleans. Like, I look at Mardi Gras as being, like, a zombie apocalypse.
I can imagine, like, Bourbon Street after a zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, that's great. Well, it's like, I can imagine it'll be a little cleaner afterwards.
Yeah,
but probably. I mean, I look at Mardi Gras, and I'm not a hater on Mardi Gras, but I look at Mardi Gras, and I'm like, there's a ton of people doing the exact same things, yelling and making a ton of noise. Seems like a zombie apocalypse to me. They chase after things that don't make any sense. Zombie apocalypse. On that note, you mind if we play a song?
Sure, I don't get it.
We're going to play a song. This is, you've heard this before, this is Jonathan Colton. Reply Your Brains, R.E. Your Brains. Seems very fitting. It seems like in a civilized world, we could have civilized zombies. But I doubt it. So we'll catch you on the flip. This is Matt and Will.
Will.
And we are
Experience Point, Southeastern Zone 90.9 KSLU.
Hey, Tom, it's
once again without emotion. The humans are dead, 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 dead.
Welcome
dead,
back
dead,
to Southeastern Zone 90.9 FM KSLU. I'm Matt.
I am Will.
And this is Experience Points.
Indeed.
And we are, that was Humans Are Dead by the Flight of the Conchords. Before that, Jonathan Colton with R.E. Your Brains. And that brings up two separate sides of the same type of argument. On one side, you've got, you know, zombie apocalypse. And on the other side, bum, 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 robot destruction.
Yes.
So, you know, I'll ask the same question. What's your plan for robot destruction?
For robot, for robot destruction.
Hmm.
I don't know why this popped in my head just now. Just a quick note. Now that I'm thinking about it, you know, Will Smith was in I'm Legend, which is like a zombie movie. Yeah. And he was also in I, Robot.
Oh, yeah. Okay, there you go.
I don't know. That just popped in my head just now, actually. I don't know.
Maybe he's a robot zombie? We need robot zombies. J.J. Abrams, get on that.
Oh, no.
You know, he got the Star Wars rights.
Yeah.
J.J. Abrams will be doing Star Wars.
I saw that.
You can expect Star Wars Fringe.
I think that'll be pretty cool.
It'll be amazing. Anyway, back to robots.
Anyways, back to robots. My robot apocalypse thing, I guess it'd be called robot apocalypse, robot invasion.
Enslavement, destruction.
Robot enslavement.
On one side, because did you ever see the movie Nine?
Nine,
yeah, the CG movie.
Yeah.
Right? It's got like the guy, it wasn't Tim Burton, but Tim Burton signed off on it.
Yeah.
Like Tim Burton's like little brother's friend or whatever.
Seemed like it was a Tim Burton film.
Right. But that's like after the robot apocalypse, after the robots kind of destroyed everything. Mm-hmm. And it was like Nazi robots too. There was this weird overtone. But
yeah.
So either you have that or you've got this Terminator Judgment Day type of scenario, mm-hmm. where robots, you know, we're in we haven't lost yet. And we're in this constant struggle. So I'd like to think iRobot was about to be Terminator.
Basically.
And then after Terminator, the robots won. That was what 9 was. So.
Okay. Well, coming from the perspective of, say, 9, like we're in the time of 9, but I'm like the last human or something like that surviving.
Yeah, okay.
I would, hopefully, there would still be like ships or something that have been abandoned that carried stuff back and forth from country to country. Like, you know, it's like huge ships. I'm talking about like.
Right, like a big tanker or
like,
big.
Yeah. And I would get on one of those. Or even like, actually, I guess it could be something like the USS Kidd or something. Get on one of those. Go out far into the middle of the ocean, the middle of nowhere, where I have absolutely no idea of where I am. Because, I mean, robots, the robots, right?
Water. The robots don't know either.
And
except sonar and. And, satellites
and
GPS,
but the point is though is water coming from, also yeah. come from the point of view that the robots aren't able to be in water because I mean that's always been kind of like a
they're not submarines people
yeah and so say they're not smart enough to operate a boat themselves which I guess if they killed all the humans off they probably are so maybe that actually isn't a good plan but. Just anyways.
I don't think there's any good plan. I think we're hosed at that point.
Once again, I guess if robots, like we're making robots and they get smart enough to kill us, I mean, that means they're just as smart as us. So it's like we're trying to run away from humans. It'd be kind of like if all humans were.
Oh, Battlestar Galactica.
Free for
this is
all.
Battlestar Galactica right now. Awesome.
And I mean, I don't really honestly know, I guess. I was going to say put some giant tanker out in the middle of the ocean and just survive off the food on that as long as you can because it's robots. But I mean, if they're smart, they can operate ships and get to you. So
yeah, I don't really think I have an answer for it. I asked you, kind of hoping that you would just give me an idea. I don't have an answer. I
kind of hopeless.
Robots, I would maybe, I don't know, like that one Futurama episode, I would just dress up like a robot and try to blend in. Or maybe I would try to make some type of reason. They I don't know. I hope in the future, I hope all robots are like Data off of Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
I'm rewatching in preparation, even though they don't really have anything to do with the new Star Trek movie coming out. It got me in the mood. So I'm rewatching Star Trek Next Generation, and I just passed the first season, the ridiculous episode where Will Wheaton's character almost gets killed on this like sex planet or wherever it's at. It's like it's that dumb Tillman water reservoir water purification center that they use in every sci-fi movie,
mm-hmm.
except Star Trek's probably used it the most. Like I think in Star Trek Enterprise it is the home base of the Starship Federation.
So they use it in like every series, every episode.
Right. And I think Stargate used it once. Sliders used it a few times. It's just like this futuristic water purification. Anyway, off the topic.
Okay.
I'm kind of hoping that all androids are like Data because he seems to try to be more like human,
mm-hmm.
and less bad and deathly to people. But
he actually has morals type thing, I guess you're saying? Like,
yeah.
So many morals to the point of where he doesn't even express emotion. Like,
right, he's like, he's trying to figure it out. He's like, I don't know, is that right? Well, let me think about it. And he's like, got all the encyclopedia of humanity to look back on, and he does it so quick. He must be, I don't know, he must be running an i7 or something up there because he does it so quickly.
You gotta think about the actor that played him, too.
Brent Spinner, yeah.
He had to be pretty skilled to be able to keep a...
They wanted him to be Riker. That was the thing. Like, way back
really?
In the day. Yeah, they came out with, like... They're coming out with the Blu-ray versions of, like, seasons 1 through... I think they're at 3 now. And on one of them, it was, like, the... because they killed off... I probably shouldn't say that, but... Okay, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it by now.
Mm-hmm.
In, like, Star Trek Insurrection or Nemesis, whatever the last one was,
yeah.
They killed off Data. I mean, they made it so that Data could come back in a future one, but that was like the last. It was the last Star Trek movie. Come on, but from the Next Generation, they killed off Brent Spiner's character, and they said, you know, the entire journey from all 100 and there's like 128 episodes, 178 episodes, all 178 episodes and 8 movies. There's a lot of movies, I think. All those is just a big journey for Data. Data's like the one character that's really progressed. And he originally was going to try out to be Riker. And he was like, he was totally poor whenever he did it. It's like a success story on his part.
Yeah.
But
I just can't imagine him being Riker of all people. It just seems like he fits the part of Data so well, I guess. I can't even imagine him being Riker.
Yeah. I don't know who would have been like, okay. So I know there was a guy on there who played, it wasn't the guy that played Q. It was the guy that played in like the third or fourth episode where they go really, really fast. Like they go faster than warp 8 million or whatever. They end up being like billions of light years out of the solar system. and everyone's like, it'll take 300 something years at fastest warp to get back. And there was this guy, this like stupid lieutenant or whatever, this tech guy who came on to tune and mess with and do experiments on the warp drive.
Yeah.
And there was the Traveler, which was his assistant. The Traveler was originally supposed to be Data. He tried out to be Data.
Huh.
And Brent Spiner decided he wasn't going to try to do Riker. They saw him as Data and they fell in love with the character and how he was going to do it. And they went through a number of rewrites. Like, he was going to be way more human, and he was going to have, like, human modules. It was going to be really weird. They ended up incorporating some of that into, like, the movies. But, so we have a shout-out, I think, to give.
Yeah, I have a buddy. Like, we were talking about Star Trek and on, like, during the music, and I was thinking, like, I have a buddy that absolutely is in love with Star Trek, and he has seen, like, every episode. And whenever I told him we'd be talking about Star Trek on the show, he was like, you know absolutely nothing compared to me. And I even call him, like, as like we call him, like, because it's a reference, he always has his picture on like Skype and Facebook as Locutus of Borg, and so we actually call him Locutus. Like, I call him Locutus every now and then, but his real name is David Mansell, and so I figure we do a little shout out to him and just say hey to him, because he's a
hey David,
biggest Star Trek fan ever. So hey, what's up, David?
We'll beam you up one day, maybe have you on the show. We'll set up the studio and we'll do a Star Trek theme episode.
That'd be cool.
So I actually have a similar friend, Chase Courtney. He actually got to talk to Patrick Stewart. He went to Comic-Con or whatever the thing in New Orleans was recently.
Yeah.
And he actually, another friend, Shane, bought him tickets to go and meet Patrick Stewart. The problem was Patrick Stewart was busy. He was on shooting something.
Oh.
And he couldn't make it. But they did a Skype call. Like, Patrick Stewart Skyped in to like a room of like 20 people and like took their personal questions.
That is cool.
And he said stuff. It was really, really neat.
That is really
so
cool.
To satisfy this entire thing, I think we should play another song.
Yeah.
And some people that have listened to the show before, they're like, I know what it's going to be. Ah.
It's such a good song. It's so catchy.
This is the Picard song by Dark Materia. You're listening to us on Southeastern Zone 90.9 FM.
KSLU and Experience Points.
Experience this.
Here's to the finest crew in Starfleet. Engage.
Southeastern Zone 90.9 KSLU. This is Will and
Matthew. MG. Some people call me MG.
MG.
In fact,
yes.
I get a lot more MGs. My mom called me MG the other day.
So actually, this is Southeastern Zone 90.9 KSLU. Will and
MG.
And this is Experience Points.
Experience P's. Time for some EPs.
Yeah, and that was Picard song?
Jean-Luc Picard.
Yeah, that was Jean-Luc Picard. The Picard song by Dark Material.
We played that for David and Chase.
David and Chase.
And we hope that you like it. If you wanna hear some songs that you want to hear, or I guess that was the wrong way to say it. If you want us to play songs and dedicate them to you, then just deposit a small amount of money into each of our accounts. No, we can't say that. If you want to contribute to the show in any way, shape, or form, go ahead and email, mg@selu. It's a short one.
Yeah.
mg@selu.edu. Put the subject as experience points or free money, something like that, and we'll go ahead and take a look at it.
Yeah.
And progress, you know, towards it. So the topic of now, after the Star Trek, obligatory Star Trek segment is, we're all getting our income taxes back soon. You know, like, once you file. And if you don't make a lot, then chances are you're going to get money back. And you might want to, say, buy a laptop with that money you get.
Yes.
And there are a few different, I guess there are a few different ways you can go about.
Yeah, there's a few different, like,
brands, I guess.
Yeah, you can get one off of, like, some website that no one's heard of before that's, like, an amazing laptop or something that, like, everyone will be like, whoa, your laptop. Or you can go stop at Walmart and get, like, a $300 laptop. But, I mean, if you're just buying it for college, I mean, you don't really need much more than
a like, it's not a bad idea. Instead of just refreshing a laptop every 3 or 4 years, just buy a new one.
Just buy a new one now.
It's, you know, $350 to $500 for a laptop. Just, you make your money back.
But in talking about, though, we kind of got talking. He was mentioning stuff about Macs, and I was like, Macs? Like, what? You're a computer guy. That means you would like Windows. You like PCs. And he was like, what was your argument again?
So I do like Windows, and I do like PCs, and I've got predominantly, honestly, I use Linux more than anything.
Yeah.
And I guess one talking point about that is, if you have a Mac, it's essentially a Unix-based machine. It's a mm-hmm. Unix-based machine. So you've got all of the same niceties mm-hmm. and utilities that you have in Linux. So it's the same thing. Now, coming from a systems administrator point of view, if you need to do anything, you're just going to console or connect remotely into whatever server you need to go to. So you're not really going to need to connect with – you're not going to need to go with a Mac. You can go on your phone if you need to, you know. But my main argument was, while I have my desktop, my primary desktop is a PC. I do that because video games, I think, will always be better or mm-hmm. be more accessible on the PC.
Indeed, they
because
will.
You know, I have two graphics cards in my PC. I've got 16 gigs of quick RAM. I've got really nice water cooling.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, if it was a Mac Pro, like one of the big nice Mac Pros, I wouldn't want to open all that up and modify it. It's already a really premium. It's like you don't put a sound system in a Mercedes. It's a Mercedes. It already has a sound system. It's the same thing. Now, some people are going to argue that I guess Macs are way too expensive, unnecessarily expensive.
That's what my argument
is. And I'll agree with you to a point. I think it doesn't need to be that expensive, and that every English major and music producer and everything, it used to be Macs were for music and for art and for, mm-hmm. you know, you needed a lot of processing power, so for video rendering. But now we've come a long way, you know, hardware-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll still say the Mac operating system is a beautiful operating system. It's very easy to use. But people don't get it for that. They get it because they want to be trendy and they want to have an iPhone complement, and they want to get the iPad, not because they need a tablet. It's because it's a big iPhone. So there's a lot of marketing going on there, and there's a lot of I saw, you know, Justin Long, the guy that you know, I'm a Mac. Well, I'm a PC. I'm a businessman. You don't want to be a businessman, do you? I'm like, well, you know, I bet he's the 1% that doesn't have money problems.
Yeah.
So, I'm just saying, I like Mac. I own a 17-inch MacBook Pro, and I love it. I did my entire thesis on it, and I also on the other side played games on it, like Windows games, and I virtualized. I use like Parallels. And on another screen, I like played Supreme Commander 2, and World of Warcraft does really well on it.
Is it like
native.
Battlefield 3 also?
Battlefield 3, yeah. I mean, it gets hot, but it's supposed to.
Yeah.
The way I look at it is, you've got all of these businesses that are making laptops or making desktops, and this is, of course, I would never ever buy a desktop. I'll buy pieces and I'll make mine, but I'm never going to buy a desktop.
Yeah.
I'd buy a Mac desktop, I think, but it would have to be like an iMac. Yeah. It'll be something I'm never going to take apart, because if I could, I will.
Mm-hmm.
And so in a laptop's case, for instance, Mac has pretty much control from Foxconn through the people that they get their glass from, the Wi-Fi, all of that, ATI or NVIDIA, depending on who they're using.
Yeah.
They have full control, and they're very closed, and they're very uptight about how their process is for acquiring and dealing with their materials
mm-hmm.
to build the laptop. Versus HP, and I'm sure there's always that QA, that quality assurance, and that management.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's a reason that laptop's $500 versus $1,500. It's not brushed aluminum. It's screwed in. You can take it apart. It'll fall and crack instead of just denting. I mean, it's a Hyundai Sentra versus a Mercedes Benz, and.
Huh.
And you both are laptops, both get pretty good gas mileage, but one's going to last you a lot longer if you treat it right, but it's going to be more expensive to maintain. It's going to be more expensive to get RAM or get an upgrade for it.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, and maybe it needs premium fuel in the analogies case. But I like Macs because of their power. I can do more on a stock Mac than I can on a stock laptop. Of similar, I guess, accessibility. Now, Doghouse Systems, just to put a little pitch in there, Doghouse Systems does custom laptops. I have a buddy of mine, my cousin, he is a programmer, he is a gamer, and he just recently purchased a Doghouse Systems for, I want to say it was like 2100.
How much, what was in it exactly, if it was that much?
It was like 16 gigs of RAM on a laptop. It was
oh, it was a laptop. Yeah,
yeah, it was a laptop. Oh, wow. Like, it was really, really, really high def everything.
That's pretty nice.
It was really, really good. And I think he's gotten it in. So I'm going to go talk to him. I'm going to see if maybe we can demo it or whatever and mess with it, do some benchmarking. But I know on a stock accessible laptop, you know, versus a stock accessible Mac, I could do more on that Mac than I ever could hope to do on that other laptop. But I'm going to be paying three times as much.
That was my argument, is because most of the time people, like in a couple of my classes, everyone has out their MacBook Pros or MacBook Airs or MacBook Pro Air. I don't even know if that's a thing, but they have all their little paper thin MacBook things. And don't get me wrong, I think they look awesome. They look really cool. And I'm like, whoa, that's pretty cool. That's a nice laptop.
Fashion contest.
Yeah, it's a nice laptop. But the thing is, it's like, you don't get a laptop for the way it looks. I mean, I guess I can't say that because there is those people out there that are like, actually, I do get a laptop because of the way it looks, blah, blah, blah. But anyways.
Yeah. And you notice Lenovo or IBM, they've got a laptop that looks almost exactly like MacBook Pros now.
HP is trying to do the same thing.
That brushed aluminum, that all-in-one unibody design. Mm-hmm.
And like no stickers on it or anything to make it look all nice and everything. But
that's the dumbest thing. It's like, I'm running Windows XP. I'm like, yeah, I know. I could tell whenever I try to log on you're running Windows XP. Oh, I got an Intel processor. Nobody cares. I mean, you don't even care. You don't even know what that means. You're bragging about it. You have no idea what an Intel processor does
The thing is, though, is it's like in my classes, like it was funny because like one of the times, like I have to admit, like I think it was like 80% of my class. It was only a class of like 10 people. But I mean, like 80% of the class had their MacBooks out. And then like this one person, I didn't have a laptop out at all. I was just writing on paper. I was that one kid in that class that did
that
the traditional.
Notebook?
Yeah, they used an actual notebook as opposed to an electronic notebook.
Amish?
And this chick pulls out her laptop and she looks at everyone. She's like, man, I wish I could have a MacBook. And she's asking everybody, like, hey, how much did y'all pay for y'all's? And they're like, oh, we only paid like $1,500. Like, oh, I only paid like $2,100. Oh, I only paid like $1,300. And I'm like, what on earth? And like, I almost couldn't even contain myself. Like, I didn't want to freak out on the people because I didn't even hardly know them. Just have them in a class or whatever. But like, I was kind of thinking, like, what do you do on that? You get on Facebook and you get on the internet. Like, oh, man, I had to pay $1,500 to get on the... Which is why that's my argument, is because of the fact that most people are like, man, I just want one because they're in style right now. But
yeah,
at the same
I think
time,
it's a problem with people. It's a problem with people. If you own a Mac and you don't code iPhone apps or do
make music,
even because like okay,
use Photoshop
Logic,
on it at least.
Logic is really really powerful. Photoshop really really powerful. Mm-hmm. But you can run FL Studio or Pro Tools mm-hmm. on a Windows. You can run Adobe, you know, any Adobe suite on Windows, and it's just I don't know. I look at it like this. If you own a Mac, then that's fine. It's your money. You can do whatever you want. And people are going to argue, well, for the same amount of money, I can build my own laptop and make it a Hackintosh and and do whatever. Listen, I understand the ins and outs of these laptops. You will never get the quality for a significantly lower price.
Yeah.
And you'll never get the quality of
argument, yes. You will never ever get the quality out of a normal PC laptop that you may not need it. That's another thing, is like most people are like, I just need one for college, and then they go buy a $1,500 Mac, and I'm thinking, before you buy that, just look ahead to the future and think, when I get out of college, what are you gonna, if you're just getting a laptop to type notes on in class, so you can go to Walmart and get one for like less than $100, not even less than $100, but I mean like, that was an exaggeration, but honestly, it basically is less than $100.
No, you can get
nowadays.
I think it's a $250, $230 Chromebook.
Yeah.
Everything's in the cloud, the magical cloud,
mm-hmm.
You know, contained by Google. Mm-hmm. And you can watch Netflix on it. You can watch YouTube all day long.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Ever since I got out of college, honestly, I haven't really used a laptop for much.
Yeah.
I've done, you know, some production on it, mm-hmm. some video editing on it, but as far as like actually using it just to take notes or just to write stuff. Like, I haven't done that. I'm around a computer almost exclusively. You know, at my job, I've got like five computers. And, you know, here, I'm right now, we're surrounded by three or four monitors. Two keyboards. We, you know, you're always surrounded by stuff. So it's like, if in the moment, all you need is a laptop to take care of business, then just buy a cheapo laptop, take care of business. I mean, if you want a gaming laptop, then you're going to have to spend a good bit of money.
Yeah.
And a Mac's not a gaming laptop. There's games you can play, and it may be able to play games, but it's not a gaming laptop. Mm-hmm. Doghouse Systems, that's a gaming laptop.
Mm-hmm.
And don't say, oh, I got an Alienware, and you've got a crazy rainbow keyboard. I don't care. Alienware is owned by Dell now. So
yeah, it's kind of...
So just deal with that.
Yeah.
Just understand.
It's kind of depressing.
But speaking of, you know, playing games on computers, you know, we've got I know the most graphical game I've ever really played was Minecraft. No, I'm just joking. That's a joke. That's a joke.
I was like, wait a second.
Believe it or not, there's something called Ether's shaders or whatever.
And it makes everything look outstanding.
Everything waves. The grass waves. The trees and the leaves wave. It puts bloom and shadows and shaders and lighting. And it makes the game look like what I was actually going to say, Crysis.
Crysis.
So, what? Okay, so he's not experienced, guys.
Obviously, I've heard of it, but I mean, never.
Crysis is a game where you play a super cool, like, space sort of marine. It's like Halo, but you're still on Earth.
Oh, okay.
And you're in a powered suit, and you can choose between being really strong, being really fast, or being really, being really
in
armored.
Between. Oh, okay.
You pick on command. You can you hit mouse wheel and you gesture with the mouse. What power you want to activate, and you have a power gauge. So if you're shield in shield mode and you get hit a bunch, mm-hmm. then your power gauge goes down. Or if you are in strength mode and you jump, you can jump really high, but you may be only able to have like two or three jumps right after one after another.
Yeah,
and if you're in,
so it's a pretty challenging game too.
Oh yeah, no, it can be really challenging on like super mega difficult mode. It got good reviews, but it's more of like a benchmark. Crysis 1, Crysis 2, like, they tax systems. Like, a lot of people have never played them because their computers can't handle it.
Mm-hmm.
So they did it on, like, PS3 and I think on Xbox, and people, that's how people started playing it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I look at things like that. I you know, that game is super high def,
mm-hmm.
and is beautiful, and it's got foliage and a whole wildlife system in mm-hmm. the jungle, and that's really cool. And then I played, like, Mario Kart.
And you're like...
And, well, I'm like, Mario Kart is, it's just better. Like, there's no story in Mario Kart.
That's the thing.
You don't play Mario Kart for a story.
That's the thing.
You don't play Super Mario Brothers for a story. You just jump on things.
It's fun because it's Mario, honestly.
Yeah, break bricks, bro. Just do it.
And another game that actually has very good graphics is just with nothing done to it at all also is, well, I guess it kind of does. Is Skyrim? Have you played Skyrim on a PC?
Yeah, Skyrim's real, yeah.
It has very good graphics. And then, like, there's so many, like, modded texture pack things you can get for it.
Yeah, there's 100 pack. It's 100 just mods. And whenever you put them on there, it turns the game into real life.
Yeah,
so, like, all of a sudden you look down and you are the Dragonborn or whatever.
And... So only get it if you want to exist in a world that has no electricity and there's barbarian Viking type guys everywhere.
Barbarian Viking robot zombies.
Robot zombie, yeah, that. And but
with Captain Picard. This sums up the entire episode, actually. We summed up the entire episode just now.
And I'm sure they had probably some type of zombie apocalypse mod or something for Skyrim somewhere out there.
Speaking of that, awesome segue. Oh, man, we work so well. we're cool people. So DayZ, have you ever heard of Arma?
I've heard that is one of the greatest things ever.
Arma 2, or Arma Combined Operations. I think it's like Arma 2 and Arma Operation Arrowhead. They're like two games, kind of like enhancements of one another. Anyway, there's a mod called DayZ.
That's what I'm talking about, that.
DayZ is amazing. In fact, it pretty much simulates like you and, you know, I think 16 or 15 other people are on a server. Yeah. It's like on a server, you start off, you may have a map, you may have a flashlight, you don't have any weapons,
mm-hmm.
and you have to find weapons, and you have to scrounge around on this like Serbian or Russian island, there's a couple different maps, but every NPC out there is a zombie, and they're the quick Walking Dead zombies, well, not even the Walking Dead zombies, they're the quick like Resident Evil zombies, there's the we engineered these dudes for bad stuff type of zombies, and they run and they'll come after you. It's so crazy because I was playing it like there's achievements, like there's no actual like Xbox achievements for it. Mm-hmm. There are like personal achievements, like you stayed alive for 15 minutes. Congratulations.
Wow,
it's a hard game. It will test you.
Have you ever played Dead Island?
I played it.
Just what you're talking about kind of reminds me of it a little bit.
Yeah, Dead Island was good, but I feel like they wanted way too much. Like, they wanted Dead Island to be like how Far Cry is now. Far Cry 3 is an amazingly, like, connected game. Like, it feels like it's connected to this. You're connected to this world. Dead Island, it really felt like I didn't care about any of the people in it.
Yeah.
I didn't care about...
They tried too hard almost.
Yeah, they tried to make it Left 4 Dead, but then they tried to bridge the gap. Honestly, a lot of the game mechanics are from Crysis, I think. Like, they feel like they're from Crysis, but with a Left 4 Dead feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it can work sometimes. It didn't particularly work. I haven't bought it yet. I think I'll buy it next time it comes around on Steam just to have it.
Yeah.
If you haven't tried this, do you have a Steam account?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a website. It's like Steam Wealth or something. It you put in your Steam ID, and it essentially tells you how much you're worth on Steam based off of what you own on Steam.
Wow.
There's some of them, like I put my ID in, and I am like worth thousands of dollars. I've purchased like $2,500 worth of games.
Holy smokes.
On Steam. But hold on. Now, let's be realistic, though. That doesn't take into account that I bought those games, a lot of them on sale.
Oh, okay. It doesn't take...
Some of them. It didn't take into account what you bought them for. It takes into account how much they're worth now.
Okay.
At the time you hit the reload button. Yeah. So,
I can see why it'd be so much then. But say, because I feel like my net worth on that website would be like, you're almost $100.
Yeah.
I've gotten everything like on sale. But I guess if the sales aren't accounted for, it could be almost, who knows, like $500.
Yeah, more, like it's way more than I anticipated. But in the end, you know, I look back and I'm like, I've never played that game. I got it as part of this pack.
Yeah.
I've never played this game. Some of them, like the Humble Bundle that comes around every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
Like Saints Row 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, Saints Row the Third. That was on the Humble Bundle. That's like a $25 game. And you were able to get that as well as like three or four other games for $5, I think.
Wow.
With the soundtracks.
That's crazy.
And you get the Steam codes for them, and then you put them in there, and it looks like you bought them. But it's more like a gift, like you acquired them.
Yeah.
But, so while we're all of that was a spin-up to the question, do you – out of all of the early consoles, we had the regular Nintendo. Let's leave the Atari out for now. Okay, just ignore that one. So you had the 8-bit console like Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had, say, the 16-bit console, Super Nintendo, Sega.
Mm-hmm.
Sega may have been 32. I can't remember. Anyway, then you had 32, Sega, the Genesis, the 32X. I guess that's the 32 version of it.
Yeah.
Let's even include the N64.
Okay.
And the PlayStation 1. What's your favorite console generation? If you had to pick out of those, like, I know it was only like five consoles, but like if you had to pick out of those, so up to the Dreamcast, everything Dreamcast below, what would you pick? Because, I mean, on one side, you got, like, nostalgia. You had to tell a better story.
Yeah.
And on the other
did
side...
Did you say PlayStation 1 also?
PlayStation 1, yeah.
Okay. I wasn't sure if you said that, but I was...
Is that your favorite?
No, I mean, I was just wondering. I thought you had said that, but I was kind of wondering. I don't know if you had.
Yeah, because I think that's 32-bit. It may be 64.
Idea,
I have to, again, like, it's hard to say things like that because, the Jaguar, you know, that was disc-based, and it was technically 64, but really it just had two 32-bit chips, and they worked kind of in tandem, so the max was 32.
And you know there's always going to be that one guy listening that's like, well, actually, according to my calculations...
If you're an engineer, please, come and school us, but...
Out of all of those, honestly... I still own a Nintendo. One of my friends actually has a Super Nintendo. I owned a Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
It got stolen, but I think out of all of those,
the cops.
Yeah, the one.
Get that back.
That was a long time ago, but I mean, it was like literally, I think like 10 years ago.
I hope, hold on. This is serious. I hope if you're listening, the person that stole Will's Super Nintendo, I hope you feel bad.
I mean, they got a good deal. I mean, a Super Nintendo for free. I mean,
it's
you
like
can't exactly
stealing
beat that.
A baby.
And I mean, yeah, I guess it kind of is in that sense. But, literally, it was actually just also a side story from that. They broke into, it was at my dad's old house. They broke into the house, and they stole out of my room only my scooter. And then they stole...
Was it like a Razor?
It was the greatest scooter I've ever owned, actually. But then they stole out of my brother's room everything, which was including the Super Nintendo. They stole everything except for his scooter. And then they stole a pack of bacon out of the freezer. And then they left the front door open.
These were smart crooks, smart criminals stealing bacon.
And to this day, we still think that they are our next door neighbors. Why they would steal stuff? Because like they just seemed kind of like the type of people that. But anyways, that was a completely off story.
Hope your neighbors aren't listening. it was you.
My favorite would probably have to be, I guess, Super Nintendo, just because the array of games. I literally could sit there and play it for all day.
That's my favorite.
And so it was just, it was awesome.
Honestly, my favorite mostly because of A Link to the Past, but...
Yeah.
I
mean, of course, obviously, that game.
Yeah, I mean, I think I could play that game. Like, I think I have a Nintendo DS. That's the game that's installed on the DS, like, cracked on the DS was A Link to the Past.
Yeah, that's a good game. But anyways, you want to play a song, maybe?
Yeah, we're going to wrap it up. In fact, we're going to wrap it up with two songs. One is this weekend is Super Bowl weekend.
Yeah.
I don't know who you're rooting for. I don't particularly have any affiliation to teams. I have affiliation to the sport. To all sports, in fact.
Well, in that case.
In that case, yeah. How about that, guys? We have We Like Sports by the Lonely Island. And then we're actually going to do run another Sam North. We got your brother.
Yeah, my brother's
up on 8-bit-ish.
8-bit-ish.
Since we're talking about your favorite console generation. If we have time, we're gonna throw in another song called Super Player by Jace. I think
we'll have
Jace.
Enough time.
Jace Hall, yeah, if we have enough time. But until next week.
Until next week.
Until the zombie robot Viking invasion apocalypse.
Your homework for next week is to go play some sort of robot zombie Viking game.
Or watch The Next Generation.
Or
be
that
like,
too.
Be like us and just start watching Star Trek.
Just watch TV. That'll work too.
Yeah. Watch the ones with any episode with Q. Turn it into a drinking game. Because every time he says, did you ever watch Breaking Bad?
No.
Okay, so the people out there that watch Breaking Bad, it's awesome. Yes, I promised everyone I'm going to talk about Breaking Bad on the show as much as possible now. But so Breaking Bad has an actor. It's one of the main characters' girlfriend's dad. He's like a flight coordinator.
Yeah.
He's the guy that's like, C-19, adjust your course. You know, -5 degrees or whatever.
That guy.
And yeah, he's that guy. That's actually Q from Star Trek. If you haven't made the connection, now you have.
Oh, wow.
So, but I'm watching this back now, you know, the new episode, or the old episode, season one, and Q's in them, and I'm thinking, I want to turn this into a drinking game. Every time he makes some stupid costume reference or some dumb, like, silly humans, what would I want with you? Like, I just want to take a drink. And just down it, because I'm like, man, this is all this character ever does. So anyway, all that aside.
Anyways,
that's your homework. Drink lots of consume drinks.
Drink Star Trek.
Every time Jean-Luc Picard gets like the little whistle on the bridge.
Yeah,
he's like, "This is the captain." Every time he does that, just snap your fingers. Drink something.
Anyways. I'm Will.
Woo, and I'm MG.
And this has been Experience Points. And I hope you have a blessed week of gaming.
Blessed gaming. Dear gaming. Game on. That's what we got to end it with. Game on.
Game on.
Level up.
Anyways, yeah, hit the song.
Cha-ching.